When an Egyptian court sentenced nearly 700 people to death yesterday, Egypt's foreign minister was preparing for high-level meetings here in Washington, D.C. Nabil Fahmy arrived in the U.S. this week, just days after the Obama administration said that it would partially lift a suspension of military aid. But today, Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont put that aid in question, citing those death sentences. Foreign Minister Fahmy has been trying to keep U.S.-Egyptian relations on track. He met earlier in the day with Secretary of State John Kerry and joins us in the studio. Foreign Minister Fahmy, welcome.
Thank you for having me
once again. Senator Leahy says he wants to see, and I'm quoting, convincing evidence the Egyptian government is committed to the rule of law, or else Egypt doesn't get $650 million in military aid that the U.S. administration has approved. What do you say to that?
Well, let me respond to the first part rather than the or else part. On the first part, to correct the facts first, there was no verdict that 700 people will be given a death sentence. There was a request from the most senior religious clergy to see whether it was applicable or not. So the verdict has not been issued yet. But more importantly, there is due process that the legal system follows very, very carefully. So there will be an appeal process to look at the whole verdict as a whole. So is there an issue? Of course there's an issue.
Secretary of State Kerry stated his concerns about these sentences before your meeting. And I'm wondering, are you confident after your meeting that the Secretary of State will certify that despite all these issues with mass sentences, that Egypt is on a path toward democracy?
Well, one of the fundamentals of a democracy is separations of the different powers within the system, particularly the independence of the judiciary. Our judiciary is independent, and they will review through their own processes the veracity of an indictment or a verdict, and that's what you've seen even on this first case.
But explain this to Americans who are hearing it. You're speaking of due process. It sounds like due process from through the looking glass. That is, first comes the sentence, and then comes the due process.
Not really. Well, first of all, there was the request to the Mufti, and then the sentence. But take what the Attorney General put in his appeal seriously. He said, I am questioning this case on procedural grounds. Mm-hmm. Let that follow through and look at the case when it ends and reaches its final verdict.
I want to ask you something. Between your service as Egyptian ambassador to Washington, where you were for some time, and now foreign minister in the transitional government, you were the founding dean of the School of Public Affairs at the American University in Cairo. You have former colleagues, former faculty colleagues, who face what are widely regarded as very questionable criminal charges. The political scientist Ahmad Shaheen, who's now in Washington, is charged with espionage. People who know him and have worked with him say this is ridiculous and bogus. First, I mean, can you publicly express support for your former colleague, Professor Shaheen?
I've actually done more than that. I know Dr. Shaheen, and I know the other colleague as well. I can't give a verdict of guilt or innocence for any individual in a court case, but I have raised the issue within our own authorities to ensure that the case is done with meticulous precision, that full freedom and the rights to defense be provided him.
Do you feel this is a serious espionage case against Professor Shaheen, or is it cracking down on a vocal critic of the government?
Frankly, in the past, I've seen positions taken by Dr. Shaheen that were different from those of the government, but I didn't see things that he wrote that were vehemently in opposition of the government, so I wouldn't even describe him as such. But the accusations are more serious than that, and they have to be left to a court to be decided upon. I cannot, but I am concerned about the case, and I will continue to follow the case to make sure that he gets his full defense.
Broadly speaking, as Egypt moves toward presidential elections, it's adopted a constitution. How long a period do you foresee before people who supported the Muslim Brotherhood and the ousted President Morsi are participating once again in Egyptian civic life without the fear that their support of something might lead them to be prosecuted?
That's a great question, but it's also a complicated one. Any Egyptian who don't have criminal cases against them, are nonviolent, and are ready to work within the Constitution can participate today, actually, in fact. Mm-hmm. When they will feel comfortable to participate is a different question. The country has to come together. We need to ensure security so there is calm, and then there's more tolerance for political space, not between the government and the Brotherhood, but among society itself. because that's where we need to go and that's where we will go. But but it cannot be based on an ideology that puts your ideology before your nationality, or that allows you, if you face a problem, to use force.
But what's your sense? Are we talking about a couple of years? Do you think that there's a decade or two healing that has to go on in Egypt before you would be at some place that you would think of as normal?
On an individual basis, not that long. But I don't see the Brotherhood as an organization, which today is a terrorist organization in Egypt, being back in the system in the next few years, more so because of their inability to change their own ideology than because of the violence, which is also an important component as well.
We talk about Apache helicopters from the U.S. and $650 million of military aid that's now, well, the Senator Leahy's subcommittee will have to approve it, I guess. Why is that so important to Egypt? Why is military aid of such importance to your country?
It's important on many counts. Military aid reflects a strategic commitment of friendship and commitment to your most important national interest. That's the first point. The second point, regarding the Apaches per se, they symbolize America's support, or the lack of it, for our war against terrorists.
But when you talk about the war against terror, you're talking about what's happening in the northern Sinai Peninsula, right?
Yeah, and that's where the Apaches are used.
Yeah. But if I hear you right, the symbolic importance, the political importance of U.S. military aid is at least as important as the tactical advantage that
Definitely.
These particular items
Definitely.
Give you.
Definitely.
It's that important.
It is that important because it's like a marriage. It's not a one-night affair. This is something, if you're going to invest in it, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to take time. You have to take decisions.
It's a very unromantic view of marriage that you're giving.
Well, no, mine is going very well, so I do all of that. And I've been married for 39 years, so I mean, it's not something you can walk away from easily.
What's the state of the marriage right now?
Mine or...
No, the U.S.-Egyptian marriage that you're talking about.
It's well-founded, but needs to stabilize. Having a couple of hiccups. I think it's well-founded, but any marriage has its hiccups.
Foreign Minister Nabil Fahmy of Egypt, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're most welcome.